RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by a press review, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo, strategy should be improved to increase fruit production. UNICEF initiative invites Indonesian youth to speak up. International community is expected to increase their care on natural conservation. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo affirmed that in order to increase the production of fruits, flowers, and vegetables and reduce the import, strategy needs to be improved. As quoted by Antara News Agency, President Joko Widodo said that strategy should be improved to increase the production. He has urged the state-owned plantation firm PT Perkebunan Nusantara (PTPN) to prepare a minimum of 10,000 hectares of land where fruit would be planted due to its export potential. He further said that there will be an exhibition or festival for Indonesian fruits and flowers internationally next year. He also hopes that the foreign minister can invite buyers abroad. Previously, the Bogor Agricultural University (IPB) introduced a motion to increase the production of fruits, vegetables, and flowers, naming it the Orange Revolution Movement. Besides, President Joko Widodo also supported the movement because it can increase the production, consumption, and export of fruits, as well as can reduce the volume of imported fruit. UNICEF Communication Chief Michael Claus said that UNICEF Indonesia wants to facilitate a dialogue between youth and the government, communication platform that aims to give youth the opportunity to have their opinions heard by the government has been launched by UNICEF Indonesia. As quoted by Jakarta Post, Claus stated, "Youth Report Indonesia would enable UNICEF to collect and analyze information on youth and deal with the issues raised, including the National Development Planning Agency (BAPENAS), the Women's Empowerment and Child Protections Ministry, and the Culture and Education Ministry." Klaus Father said that the initiative was the first Youth Report platform in Asia and involved up to 40,000 Indonesian youth reporters. The 5th of December has been stated by the United Nations as the World Soil Day. Soil has become part of human's life that its existence must be conserved. Related to this case, South Korean government has paid attention to the soil environmental conservation both in the urban and rural areas. It was said by Kim Jae-myung, a Korean citizen living in Seoul capital, to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, by phone on Friday afternoon.
Well, I think that the government taking a very strong initiative to protect natural environment and also agricultural environment, I think. Definitely, the Korean government and also together with the agricultural industry, they are trying to protect their environment, like soil or like other natural resources. Usually concentrate on the urban area, not rural area in Korea, I mean. The rural area or farming area is protected by the government's strong regulation. Yes, so I don't have any doubt. Even many Koreans, they are very aware of natural protection also to protect our land, because the land is given by the God. So I hope on the occasion of World Soil Day, Indonesian people, also in Korean people, they trying their best to protect our land.
Furthermore, Kim Jae-myung also expects that at the World Soil Day, the international community has personal awareness to keep their environment in their countries, so the conservation of the environment can bring about benefit for the surrounding people. Minister of Fisheries and Marine Resources Susi Pujastuti said that Indonesian waters must not become like those in Africa, which are now controlled by foreign concessionaires. As quoted by Antara News Agency, she did not wish Indonesian waters to become like waters in Africa where foreign concessionaires exercise control. She further said that sea concessions in a number of locations in Africa are open to making a number of parties from Europe to become stakeholders in the area. Minister Susi also pointed out that it has become feasible for parties outside Africa to freely explore and poach marine resources, depriving the locals of any benefit. Even she said that there is no foreign party to be allowed to enter Indonesia's exclusive economic zone. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Land degradation caused by pollution and the lack of agricultural land are factors that can threaten food security in Indonesia. Head of Bureau of Cooperation and Promotion of Sciences and Technology, Indonesian Institutes of Sciences LIPI, Bugi Sujatmiko Eko Cahyono said on Thursday, December 3rd to RRI, World Service, Voice of Indonesia, that many farms have been converted into houses, buildings and factories. According to Bugi, in general, agricultural land in Indonesia had been a solution to overcome these problems. He added LIPI has conducted various research in developing superior varieties of rice seeds that are resistant to drought and soil pollution. Bugi further said that Indonesia Institute of Sciences LIPI has also developed fertilizer, bioprocessing technology and food engineering, but he acknowledged that dissemination or application of the research is still lacking. For example, LIPI has cooperated with local government of Wonogiri Regency and has produced 13 tons of rice per hectare with fertilizers based on LIPI research results. Typically, 1 hectare of land produces only 5 to 6 tons of rice. Bugi said Indonesian researchers are highly productive in creating an innovative system to improve the land quality and food production. It is expected that the people and the government will use the science and technology to improve the quality of land and food. Minister of Fisheries of Thailand, Chatchai Sarikulia, visited to the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fishery to follow up cooperation to combat against illegal fishing activities on Friday. Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Susi Pujastuti explained that the presence of the Minister of Fisheries of Thailand is the commitment of both countries in fighting against illegal fishing. Even Minister Susi affirmed that this so far, Thailand has been also known to be quite strict to crack down on crimes that occurred over the sea. Minister Susi assessed that this cooperation should be continued and even expanded to other countries. She hopes that after this cooperation, there is no illegal fishing practice that may occur in the territorial waters of both countries. Meanwhile, Minister Chatchai claimed to support the invitations of Minister Susi to keep fighting against illegal, unreported and unregulated fishing. He also said Thailand would be committed to continuously fighting against the practices of illegal, unreported and unregulated fishing. Listener, that was the news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Press Review. A variety of important events that occurred this week are summarized in the Week Press Review, compiled from various dailies published in the capital, Jakarta. Let's begin with Kompas Daily, which in its editorial on Wednesday writes the dignity of the nation at stake. The Asian Olympic Council warning about the preparation of the 2018 Asian Games hosted by Indonesia should be seriously addressed by the government. The holding of 2018 Asian Games is putting the nation's dignity and self-esteem at stake, especially for President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla. According to Kompas, the trust of the Olympic Council of the Asia, OCA, provides an opportunity for Indonesia to host the Asian Games 2018 after Vietnam withdrew should not be wasted. However, as quoted by this newspaper, the director of the Department of Asian Games, OCA, Haider Darman, had given a yellow card to Indonesia. Renovation of several venues in Palembang and Jakarta have not started yet. The building of athlete accommodation to house 14,000 sportsmen, which was supposed to start in September 2015, has been postponed until February 2016. According to Kompas, because the national pride is at stake, the daily invites and encourages all parties to work for Indonesia. People are hoping that Indonesia will be successful in holding the Asian Games and also in achievement in the Games. There needs to be the nation's energy allocation to think about how to prepare for the Asian Games 2018 so it goes well and bring up the name of Indonesia in Asia. Over to Republika Daily now. In an editorial on Thursday, this daily writes, "Uphold the shame tradition." A surprising decision was taken by Director General of Taxation, Sigit Priyadi Pramudito. He chose to resign from his post for unable to meet the target of state tax revenue. In the revised state budget 2016, the tax revenue is targeted at $1,294.2 trillion, while according to Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro, tax revenues until the end of November 2015 only reached 65%. The resignation became a surprising news because it is very rare in Indonesia. Typically, the resignation of an official usually occurs because the person is tangled in a legal case or because wants to join the legislative election. According to Republika, it is appropriate for an official to give up his seat to others if he is not able to carry out the task mandated to him with the position. Republika writes, the resignation of Sigit Priyadi Pramudito could become a momentum to instill the shame culture in officials who are unable to bear the responsibility. We end the week press review with Media Indonesia Daily. In an editorial on Thursday, this daily writes, "Lesson to resign for Novanto." Currently, there is a serious problem in Indonesia. The problem is the absence of quality leaders and responsible statesmen. The case of mega scandal asking for shares from Freeport, allegedly involving House Speaker Setia Novanto, is a clear example of efforts to retain power amid calls to resign from office. But in the middle of the heat of the scandal, according to Media Indonesia, there is an example that comes from a failure. The example was set by the Director General of Taxation, Sigit Priyadi Pramudito. He resigned from his post by Wednesday, December the 2nd. The reason is the realization of tax revenue is far from the target. Media Indonesia writes, the mega scandal of asking for share was discussed openly in the House of Representatives Honorary Council hearing on Wednesday and was broadcast live on television. It was actually to dig the information from the Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources as the complainant, which can be a reason for the relevant party to resign. According to the Prosecutor General, based on sound recordings, the meeting between Setia Novanto and Freeport can be called a conspiracy and is a strong reason for the House Speaker to resign. Media Indonesia writes, it would be nice if the House Speaker learned from the Director General of Taxes, voluntary retreat or resignation certainly is more dignified than being forced to get down. Well, that was this week's press review. Over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listen, meet again with me, Anya Sana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on December the 5th, 1936, when the 1936 Soviet Constitution was adopted. The 1936 Soviet Constitution adopted on December 5, 1936, and also known as the Stalin Constitution, redesigned the government of the Soviet Union. Beginning in 1936, December the 5th was celebrated as Soviet Constitution Day in the USSR until the 1977 Soviet Constitution moved the day to October the 7th. Before 1936, there was no Soviet Constitution Day. The Constitution repealed restrictions on voting and aided universal direct suffrage and the right to work to rights guaranteed by the previous Constitution. In addition, the Constitution recognized collective social and economic rights, including the rights to work, rest and leisure, health protection, care in old age and sickness, housing, education, and cultural benefits. The Constitution also provided for the direct election of all government bodies and their reorganization into a single uniform system. It was written by a special commission of 31 members, which Joseph Stalin chaired. And the next event was in 1952, when the Great Smog of 52, or Big Smoke, was a severe air pollution event that affected London. The Great Smog of 52, or Big Smoke, was a severe air pollution event that affected London during December 1952. A period of cold weather combined with an anticyclone and windless conditions collected airborne pollutants mostly from the use of coal to form a thick layer of smoke over the city. It lasted from Friday, December the 5th to Tuesday, December the 9th, 1952, and then dispersed quickly after a change of weather. Although it caused major disruption due to the effect on visibility and even penetrated indoor areas, it was not thought to be a significant event at the time, with London having experienced many smog events in the past, so-called pea supers. Government medical reports in the following weeks estimated that up until December the 4th, 4,000 people had died prematurely and 100,000 more were made ill because of the smoke's effects on the human respiratory tract. More recent research suggests that the total number of fatalities was considerably greater, at about 12,000. It is known to be the worst air pollution event in the history of the United Kingdom, and the most significant in terms of its effect on environmental research, government regulation, and public awareness of the relationship between air quality and health. It led to several changes in practices and regulations, including the Clean Air Act 1956. And the last event was in 1954, when National Nuclear Energy Agency was established. National Nuclear Energy Agency, abbreviated as BATAN, is a non-ministerial government institution in charge of implementing Indonesian government's task in the field of research, development and utilization of nuclear energy. The development and utilization of nuclear technology in Indonesia was started from the establishment of the State Committee for Radioactive Investigation in 1954. The State Committee has the task to investigate the possibility of radioactive fallout from nuclear weapons testing in the Pacific Ocean. By paying attention to the utilization of the development and utilization of atomic energy for the welfare of society, then through Government Regulation No. 65, in 1958, on December 5, 1958, the Atomic Energy Council and the Institute of Atomic Energy was established, which was then refined into the National Atomic Energy Agency under Law No. 31, year 1964, on basic provisions of atomic energy. Furthermore, every December the 5th, which was a historical date for the development of nuclear technology in Indonesia, has been designated as the anniversary of BATAN. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. The theme of Focus today is Indonesia and the World Bank establish a new partnership. The World Bank Group Board of Executive Directors has endorsed a new five-year country partnership framework for Indonesia, which is expected to deliver more than $10 billion in support for infrastructure development and social programs to reduce poverty. In an official statement released on Wednesday, the 2nd of December, World Bank Vice President for East Asia and the Pacific, Axel van Trotsenburg, said the World Bank is confident Indonesia is poised to seize opportunities and emerge even stronger in the face of global and domestic challenges. According to Trotsenburg, the framework for 2016 to 2020, which covers one of the largest country programs of the World Bank Group, reflects the strong collaboration between Indonesia and the group's institutions. They comprise the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development, IBRD, International Finance Corporation, IFC, and Multilateral Investment Guarantee Agency, MIGA. The World Bank says the framework is aligned with Indonesia's National Mid-Term Development Plan, known as the RPJMN. and outlined 6 areas of engagement between the World Bank Group and the government, private sector, and other development partners. It says the framework gives support to Indonesia's national infrastructure programs that are essential for growth and improving the lives of Indonesians across the archipelago, the energy sector's ability to increase sustainable energy and connect millions of families to reliable electricity, and programs to build the maritime economy and improve connectivity. The framework will also support the government's efforts to collect more revenue and spend it more effectively, provide better healthcare, education, sanitation, and water services, and protect Indonesia's vast natural resources, including efforts to fight peatland fires and reduce deforestation to reduce carbon emissions and create sustainable livelihoods for the poor. The Executive Board also approved a Development Policy Loan, or DPL, for inclusive and sustainable energy worth $500 million. This assistance supports the Indonesian government policy related to public and private investment in renewable energy that is clean and sustainable, especially geothermal. Representatives of the International Finance Corporation Manager for Indonesia, Sarves Suri, said cooperation with Indonesia aimed to improve this investment climate to support the private sector in order to take part given the importance of their role in the development of Indonesia. Well, that was Focus Today on Indonesia World Bank Established New Partnership. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. President Joko Widodo affirmed that in order to increase the production of fruits, flowers, and vegetables and reduce the import, strategy needs to be improved. UNICEF Communications Chief Michael Klaus said that UNICEF Indonesia wants to facilitate a dialogue between youth and the government. Minister of Fisheries and Marine Resources Susi Pujastuti said that Indonesian waters must not become like those in Africa, which are now controlled by foreign concessionaires. Land degradations caused by pollutions and the lack of agricultural land are factors that can threaten food security in Indonesia. Minister of Fisheries of Thailand Chatchai Sarikulya visited to the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries to follow up cooperation to combat against illegal fishing activities on Friday. Listener, that was News in Brief, our RRI's World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Sumbawa to have a close look at beautiful Tanjung Menangis Beach. Stay tuned. Listeners, when hearing the name Tanjung Menangis Beach, you might feel strange because the name of this beach relates to a story in the past. According to the story, Sultan Samawa was very sad to see his daughter who was sick. Sultan had done various efforts to cure his daughter, but in vain. Finally, Sultan held a quiz with the prize that anyone who can cure her daughter would be engaged to his daughter. Finally, there was a man named Zainal Abidin from Lawesi land who could cure the princess. But Sultan broke his promise and even chased away Zainal Abidin. The princess who fell in love ran after Zainal Abidin, but did not know where to go. Finally, she arrived at a bay. Princess, who was faithful to wait for Zainal at the bay, continuously cried, pondering her fate because of unrequited love. That's why the beat is called Tanjung Menangis, or in English means crying bay beach. Listeners, Tanjung Menangis Beach, which is located in Sumbawa West Nusa Tenggara Province, is well known for its beauty. This beach is clean, has blue transparent water. Its sand is very beautiful and has light brown to almost white color along the beach. Melodious wave, fresh wind will make us able to find comfort at the beach. Tanjung Menangis Beach does not have white sea part, but the sea part has many color coral reefs and fish. Its location, which is far from the crowds, will make you like to stay for a longer time. Listeners, if you want to go to Tanjung Menangis Beach, it will be a quite long journey because you have to go to Lombok first and then to Sumbawa. If you go by a bus, it takes around 2 days from Jakarta. Arriving in Lombok, you have to take a bus from Mataram to Sumbawa. It takes around 3 until 4 hours. Even though there is no public transportation to Tanjung Menangis Beach, it is not difficult to find it. So, you can drive your own car or you can rent a car. The trip takes around 30 minutes from Sumbawa City. Listeners, at Tanjung Menangis Beach, there is a lighthouse tower to observe the situation of the sea. Sometimes, visitors climb the tower to see the beautiful panorama. Despite a bit tense, but if you are on the top of the tower, you will be amazed and forget your fear. There are also people who jump to the beach from the tower, not to commit suicide, but they want to swim. It is fun and exciting. Well, listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Tanjung Menangis Beach in West Nusa Tenggara Province. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and traditions, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition, we'll be discussing Bengkulu Tabot. Tabot is a traditional ceremony of Bengkulu people to recall the story of heroism and death of Prophet Muhammad's grandsons, Hussein and Hassan bin Ali bin Abi Talib, in a battle with Ubaidullah bin Zaid troops in Karbala Desert, Iraq on the 10th of Muharram, 61 Hijri or 681 AD. In Indonesia, the commemoration of this tragedy was first introduced by Sheikh Burhanuddin, known as Imam Senggolo, in Bengkulu in 1685. Sheikh Burhanuddin or Imam Senggolo married to a woman from Bengkulu, and their children, grandchildren, and their descendants are known as Tabot family. Oddly enough, the commemoration is observed in a big ceremony and with various local traditions from the 1st to 10th Muharram based on the Islamic calendar every year. Initially, the core of Tabot ceremony is to commemorate the efforts of the Syiah leaders and his people to collect body parts of Hussein, their hero, paraded and buried them in Karbala Desert. Tabot term derived from the Arabic word tabut, which literally means wooden box or crate. In the Holy Quran, it is mentioned that tabot is a crate containing the Torah. No written records since when Tabot ceremony began to be known in Bengkulu. However, is it strongly suspected that it came from the traditional mourning ceremonies of Shiism followers carried by workers who built Fort Marlborough from 1718 until 1719 in Bengkulu. They were imported by the British from Madras and Bengal in southern India, which happens to be the followers of Shia Islam. In general, there are three values contained in the Tabot ceremony, namely religious, historical, and social values. As for the religious values, can be seen in the process of picking some earth in the Tabot ceremony or procession, which is to remind people of the origin of their creation. Secondly, regardless of the view that the Tabot ritual contains elements of irregularities in Islam, such as the use of incantations and verses of the Holy Quran in the procession of taking the earth, but the essence is to make people aware that religion is inseparable from the values of local culture. And the third, nowadays Tabot ceremony, which consists of various traditional and cultural parades and processions, happens in the month of Muharram, the first month of Islamic calendar, so people just consider it as a celebration for welcoming the Islamic New Year. For your information, although Indonesia is known as a country with the most Muslim population in the world, Shia doesn't develop in this country. Very few know about it. Tabot ceremony now is more like a cultural event which has become the characteristic of Bengkulu region. Miscellany over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Bengkulu Tabot. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRR World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Mariyati, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In addition to shortwave 9525 kHz, you can also listen to this program through our audio streaming at www.voi.go.id or through RRI Play and RRI World Service mobile applications on your smartphones. In today's edition, I will introduce you to Andira, a beautiful singer from Jakarta who joined Seven Music Band in late 1912. Together with Seven Music, Andira released her debut single entitled Enyah, or in English means Get Out. Despite still young, she has no obstacle to begin her career in music industry. She receives various positive responses from Indonesian music lovers. Even one of websites calls her as one of its new rising stars. VOI listeners, let's listen to a song from Andira entitled Hanya Kamu or Only You.
Teringat diriku padamu saat kau ketuk pintu hatiku, berharap semua rasa menyatu. Kau buat diriku merasa sempurna selalu di hadapanmu, membawa aku terbang dengan angan-anganku. Degup jantungku beradu-adu, tersipu malu kasihku. Bahagiaku dibuatmu, hanya kamu yang bisa membuatku teriak tersipu malu membeku. Memang hanya kamu, tak pernah ku sangka kau menyatakannya. Aku malu padamu. Kau buat diriku merasa sempurna selalu di hadapanmu, membawa aku terbang dengan angan-anganku. Degup jantungku beradu-adu, tersipu malu kasihku.
Andira, who is still under 20 years old, has golden voice. Andira told that Sin Play Group, she has joined a choir. She was inspired to be a singer when she was watching a movie entitled Petualangan Sherina or Sherina's Adventure. Andira often performs everywhere and her friends ask her to upload her performances videos. Her first single entitled Nyah, as pop R&B genre and written by Andira, Handy and Rio. In making a Nyah video clip, Andira was assisted by Andra, Alodita and Abeng. This video clip has a simple concept, but it was successful to deliver the message of the song. VOI listeners, here is Nyah or Get Out sung by Andira.
Bersama menjalin cerita, ku bertanya-tanya semua kata yang pernah kau ucap. Kau memang benar setia, tapi di awal saya
pernah tulus datang dari hatimu.
Time Andira presents the new single entitled Sampai Janji Terucap or Till Promise is Spoken. Her first single, Belt, was composed by Ario Seto. The song tells about a woman asking her lover to wait until holy promise is spoken. Well, listeners, to conclude Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Sampai Janji Terucap by Andira. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Kau akan menunggu
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Wajah
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
mengejar bintang-bintang bersama dirinya. Oh, oh, ku raih segala impian bercinta dengan dirinya akan jadi nyata bersama.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.